Hello and welcome to Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. This is Jasmine. I'm happy to be here. I have been slowing down in my podcast. You guys haven't seen anything because you guys actually are going to be watching all the episodes one after the other. But I have taken some time off and I'm happy to start again and start having these conversations because they are rich conversations and they are introspective is the one, the word that comes to mind right now. And today, my guest is Martin Dara. Hi, Martin.
Jasmine,
thanks. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited that I know we've been speaking for a while about doing this together, and I'm so glad that you're back and you're doing this, and I appreciate you inviting me on here. I'm very excited about it.
So, Martin, I don't even remember where we met. I mean, I know we met. We've known each other for a while, but I don't remember. Did we take a class together?
Sure, we did at some point, but I'm pretty sure I couldn't tell you exactly the class that we took together, but I know that you came on my podcast pretty early on. Honestly, I think you were like maybe my second or third episode. It was like right when I started, and I really didn't know you or Georgia very well. You guys came on together, and we just had an absolute ball. Like I just had so much fun with you guys. And once that happened, then I'm like, all right, now I need to hang out with these ladies a little bit more. That was like the beginning I remember of like us really becoming friends. And it was a long time ago. So this is awesome that we could be here with you again and hopefully have another amazing conversation.
Well, guys, I want you to know that, you know, Martin is quite the mix. Because Martin is a bartender, he's a coach, and he's like a transformative coach, and you're a sports coach. Like, is it sports coaching?
Yep. Yeah, it's a lot. And weirdly enough, they kind of tie together every once in a while, which is pretty sweet. So, so bartender, teacher, coach, sports coach, yeah, there's a lot going on, but it's all good things.
Yeah, that's what I actually love about the three principles of mind, thought, consciousness. It's like once you understand them, they actually apply anywhere. Like, it's funny because before we hit record, we had quite a lengthy conversation where I was complaining, but I just needed a man's take on something. But the thing that was really interesting to see was how Martin uses the understanding of my mind, thought, consciousness in sports, just like I use mind, thought, consciousness in business and in marketing and in managing your business. So it was really interesting to see, you know, how it all fits together. Really, it's like once you understand how human beings work, then you can clear things that are in your way quite easily.
100%. And that's why I kind of share, I mean, when we were speaking earlier, I shared that, you know, if you sign up for a basketball training session with me, you're not going to just learn about dribbling, shooting, passing. You are going to learn all of those things, but we're going to have conversations about, you know, how your mind works or, you know, what's going on in your personal game where, you know, maybe you're lacking some confidence, or maybe, you know, you're dealing with a tough teammate or tough coach, and you're just trying to figure out ways to kind of cope with that. And so I share that a lot in the messaging that I put out and different things, especially with the parents that I'm working with their kids. Where it's like this, yes, you're gonna get better at basketball, but you're gonna see the improvement in other areas of your kids' lives or of your lives with like your relationships. Like, you know, it's crazy to say, like, if you do a basketball training with me, like you're gonna do better in school. Like, it almost doesn't make sense to say that, but I've seen it happen firsthand where these kids are like, wait, I'm actually like understanding like what's happening in the classroom more. I actually hear what this teacher's saying to me now, and my relationship with my friends is better, or my relationship with my parents is getting better, my coach. And it's so interesting. Once you start to see this in one aspect, it really translates to a lot of different aspects of your life. So for a lot of these kids, their comfort zone or their comfort level is sports because that's what they know and that's what they're good at, and they want to get better at it. But then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, math's my worst subject, and now I'm doing better in math. Now I, you know, now my dad's like, we're getting along a lot better. Now, like, I don't want to kill my brother all the time, like something like that. And it's, wow, that's really cool to see that that could happen just from a basketball conversation.
Have you encountered some places or some times where the kid is like good, like he's good, right? But he wants to be better, right? And he just can't intellectually make it happen.
Absolutely. And I'm actually, we didn't prompt this, but I did just have a conversation with one of my players. He's actually the captain of our basketball team. And we sit down, and I noticed that he's been particularly hard on himself this season. And so I'm asking him, you know, what's kind of going on? You're not playing as free or as fun as you did last season. Is it because you're, you know, the captain now? Is it because you're the old, like, what's going on? And he says, you know, I want to push myself. I know I could work harder. I know I could do better. Like, I need to be serious. And I said, you know, we play at recess together, and you're out there and you're having fun, and you're playing your game, you know, you're making shots, you're making good passes, and then in the game or at practice, you're not playing like that. Like, what's different? And he said, you know, well, this is serious. And we started talking about that. I said, well, why does it have to be different? Why can't you have fun here? Why can't you do that? And he paused for a second, and the conversation continued because they said, well, if you're being really hard on yourself, is that how you get better at sports? And he thought for a second. And he realized that, I said, sometimes being hard on yourself is good, but if you're being so hard on yourself that you're taking life so seriously, there's going to be no room for you to improve. And that was like the light bulb clicked, and he realized like he was being so hard on himself to get better, to do the right thing, that and take it so seriously that he was just limiting his ability so much. And he ended up, we played that game. That was like right before the game started, and we played. He had a great game. That was our last game. So I'm hoping that he remembers that conversation, and and we can keep that momentum going for the next couple of weeks when we have our upcoming games. But it was just something to notice where players or kids put pressure on themselves to get better, to do better. And unfortunately, that's sometimes where they limit themselves or they make a mistake because they think, you know, there's no room for error.
It's just I it, it it's like we all want to be good, you know, like, and then we make up what we need to do to be good. Like, You know, there's this striving to, and like the striving is almost the thing that's in the way of just naturally being good.
Absolutely. I think a lot of kids, you know, that we watch a lot of these famous athletes now, and you know, a couple of the kids are like, you know, I want to drop 30 points today. And I look at him, I'm like, first of all, you've never even scored 10 in a game. So like, why are you know, it's awesome that you want to get to that point, but like, why? We don't need you to drop 30 points. Like, we need you to be yourself and play your game. But if you try and go, like, I have to score, I have to score, that is a story in itself that's going to probably get in the way and cause you to make a bad play. Because, you know, what I want is for us to pass and to find the open person. And that's, you know, mostly true in almost every sport.
Yeah,
But
it's
if
not
you're
about
so.
the I.
The eye, yeah, you're so locked in. I'm like, this is what I need to do. I need to score to help my team win. And it comes down to a lot of kids, you know, we have like different roles. There are some kids on our team that can score 30 points, and that's awesome. But there's some kids who score four, but because of what they do on defense, because of how they rebound, because of how they pass, it's like they're almost as more valuable than the kid who drops 30 points, but they don't see it that way because they're not. All they want to do is focus on how can I score, and sometimes that's not the key factor, and that's not what we need this one particular kid to do. So
I think that's what we're seeing a lot in, you know, lately. Like when you're talking, I can see how when parents are like, let's not focus on winning the games. I'm not a parent, you know, I'm not around kids. I watch TV. And you know, in what I've listened, like, you know, in the shows that I've listened to and the news, you know, how and the some of the conversations that I've had with people who are parents, I can see how they just want people to play and stop. I want to say, you know, making the win the hero, the big thing, that's the coveted, that's gonna make you something if you're a winner. And I think that we do, understanding that we do that in our lives, you know, like in our lives, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, this, like, I listen to conversations of people that are close to me, and you know, it's like, well, this person is, the other day I was having a conversation, this person's like, oh, I was listening to the TV, and this girl, she lives in this place, and she had a $5 million boat. You know, and he was like, the way that he was talking about her was like, it was bad that she had a $5 million boat, because he has to work his ass off, you know, at $25 an hour, and he's having a hard time, you know. And I'm just like, that's just wrong. I just feel that that's wrong. Yeah, I'm not sure I would have a $5 million boat personally. I don't know why I would, but maybe if I've got enough money that I can get a $5 million, maybe I would get one. I don't know. But why do we make it, you know, a bad thing or a good thing?
that's so true. And it's like, you know, you look at this, I don't know if this is exactly true, but a lot of people, they want the $5 million boat, or they're like striving for it, and they don't even know how to swim yet.
Yeah.
Why don't you learn how to swim first before you start, you know, complaining about this other person has this boat, or they striving to get that boat. And a lot of people, I think, want don't ask that question. I'm pretty sure it was Sid Banks's wife that asked, like, what do you want? And then the next question was like, no, but actually, like, what do you want? And I think a lot of people are confused about it.
Yes. I think that's why I call my podcast Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. I think that there's something in the dreaming. Like, there's why couldn't you dream of having what you truly want, not what you've seen on TV? Oh, I dream of having the $5 million boat. Do you really? Like, what is it going to give you to have the $5 million boat? I mean, it's well documented that, the people that are rich are not happier. They're not happier because they can buy all of these things. My father, every Christmas, every holiday season, he goes into a depression because he doesn't have any money. And I'm like, but you don't have any money all year long. Like, what is it? And there's a misunderstanding that it's the money that's going to make me happy. It's not that. What is it that makes you happy? And then just if you can truly look and find the thing that makes you go, oh, have you ever had the experience of, having this thing where you really want this thing to happen, and then something major happens in your life, and then all of a sudden this thing just means nothing? Like, we see it in, when people are, I'm thinking of hurricanes, and I'm thinking of, earthquakes and, really major events where people are just like, I could be fighting with my neighbor, but there's going to be a hurricane, and I'm going to go help the neighbor get the hell out, because all of that thing that you made up that you should be upset with is no longer valid.
I can give you an example. Well, the first thing that came to mind actually was we were talking about my mom loves to take pictures of us opening our gifts on Christmas. So it's me and my three sisters, and we're opening the gifts this year. And my one sister Rose says, "How often do we even look at these pictures?" And we thought about it. I don't think I've looked at one single picture from of like, we look at the picture of like the whole family in front of the tree, or the picture with grandma, but like you don't look at the picture of you with your new toy. And I was thinking about like I couldn't even tell you what I got for Christmas last year. Like I don't even remember. And it's so funny because we think like the thing like I need gifts, I want presents, and it's just so not about that. Even though like the whole world has tried to make it about that.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get what you're saying. I don't know what else to do though. Like, I see some folks, like they in our neck of the woods. I don't know if you have that in Long Island, but we have this thing called Red Nose. I'm translating it. Red. I don't know if it's actually that name in English, but what they do is we have people that volunteer during the holiday season to go pick up people who drink too much. So you're invited at Christmas party, you take your car, you go have fun, you drink your brains out, and then you call Red Nose, and they basically come and pick you up. They take your car, they drive you home, they drive your car home. You wake up in the morning. You may be having a hangover, but you didn't kill anybody, and you have your car right there ready for you. So that's kind of like, I know that some people do it, to because first of all, they find it funny, like, because a lot of drunks are funny drunks. Although a lot of drunks are not drunk, nice drunks, but anyways, But they like, it's their thing. It's their
Yeah.
the thing that they do. So it's kind of like I haven't found that thing that I want to do. I have to admit that when I watch movies, you know, the Christmas movies, like I'm always like, and then I'm like, but like, you know, it's always about falling in love or being, you know, people from the overseas, they're finally coming, they're meeting, they're so loving together. I've never had that experience in my life. But I crave it because when I see it, I get touched up and I get touched and moved and it inspires me. But I'm like, I don't know how that can happen for me.
Well,
You know?
what I was thinking about the Christmas movies is like a lot of the movies, not necessarily those where it's like the romantic ones, a lot of them are about some sort of character and they have this transformational experience where they get to see, you know, the world that was like if they weren't born in It's a Wonderful Life, or you know, the Christmas past, present, and future with Scrooge. So it's like they get to see this and then they recognize and they change their ways. And it's like, oh, wow, it's usually about money, or it's something along those lines. And then they have this change and they change their whole personality, or you know, they're much happier. And it's like when you go back, it's like their situation didn't change, nothing changed in their situation, but they had this transformation in themselves. And that's what, you know, we're all rooting for in the movies, or
You
you know,
know
we
what?
want to see.
What comes up as you're speaking, what you're making me see is hope.
Yeah.
Hope. I remember I listened, I think it was Dr. Pettit. It may have been Mr. Bettinger. And the conversation was just like, I could hear it when people have hope, and I can hear it when people don't have hope anymore. And I think that that's what I see. I love it, actually. I actually do love it. It's kind of like it's like you have to have hope. And I think that that's what the Christmas movies do for me. I don't know if it does for everybody else, but for me, it's kind of like a glint of hope. And and thank you for saying that because it's just reminding me that there is always hope. Because whatever I made up in my head in this present moment that's making me feel like shit, I know for a fact it's going to go away. Because that's the nature of human beings. We make up shit and then we forget it. And then sometimes it comes back, but it never sticks. Like somebody said this to me, I forget who, but I've survived 100% of the time, those moments to date. 100% of the time where I felt like shit, I've survived and I've been happy again and I've laughed and it's been okay. So I don't have to take it so seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think what's interesting, what just came up for me while you were speaking about hope, is that it's really a choice. You know, it's really up to us. Like there's definitely times where it's like, wow, there's no hope, or you know, but realistically, there always is. You know, there's always something that we can look for, or you know, hope can happen. And I think that really is so important, especially you know, around this time, the holidays, and making sure that you remember to keep hoping.
Yeah. So guys, just so you know, we're recording this on December 27th, 2023. And therefore, that's where we're talking about holidays. But you may be listening to this, I don't know when. We'll find out shortly. You can tell us in the comments. But it's still relevant to everybody. I mean, there's always hope. Hope can happen. I mean, Martin, thank you so much. I think this is a perfect time to end the conversation. Hope can happen, people. So I want to thank you for accepting my invitation, and I want if and I would like to make sure that if people would like to have a conversation with you about, sports or drinks, how do they get to meet you?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. This was awesome to be here with you. The best way to, yeah, I love to have conversations. So, if you're up for it, my Instagram that you can find me at is just mdara, DARA coaching. And then if email's a better way, it's just my full name, Martin Dara Coaching at Gmail. So those are pretty simple ways to find me. And yeah, I'm always up for conversations and just looking to help students and athletes and teams. My job is, like we were talking about, not really to help them get the win or the big prize, but just help them to be the best version of themselves. And hopefully that happens on the court. Sometimes it happens off the court. Sometimes it happens all over the place. But that's really what I love to do, is to help athletes, play at their best and be their best.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much. And everybody else, I'm going to say, dream it, dare it, do it. Live the life you want. Hope can happen. Hope can happen. Take care, everyone. Bye.